God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Dear friends in Christ, and especially our confirmands, Connor, Charlotte, and Elena, the world out there, outside of these doors, is a reality that you and I are called to live in. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And oftentimes that reality outside of our doors can be awesome, for out of God's incredible love, He's given us so many gifts to enjoy. Family, friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ, music, song, dance, and the arts, athletic skills and every sport imaginable to use them, the beauty and wonder of God's creation, plants and animals, oceans and mountains and sun and moon and stars. The awesome reality of this life includes birthdays, baptisms, confirmations, marriages, anniversaries. It includes children, playgrounds, and fun. It includes reunions, birthday parties, and vacations. Or as Luther sums it up, the Lord gives me food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, land and animals, money and goods, a devout spouse, devout children, devout reputation, the devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. The list goes on and on. Of all of the gifts God blesses us with, even in this life, even in a sin-scarred and broken world. And however, the danger is if God's gifts and the awesome life He has given us, even on this side of heaven, causes you to lose sight of our ultimate reality. And our ultimate reality, God tells us, is in 1 John 5. Whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Connor, Charlotte, and Elena. I'm sure you already know this, but there's an ugly side to reality. And here's how it happened. God made everything perfect in the beginning, and it was paradise, the Garden of Eden, Shangri-La. And He's going to make everything perfect again at the end, and it will be paradise. But all of the pain and suffering that we face right now in between those endpoints are an intrusion into God's perfect plan and His ultimate reality, caused not by God, but by Adam and Eve's sins, the world's sins, and our sin. There is an ugly side to reality. It includes sin, death, and hell. The devil, the demons, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms warring against you, trying to rob you of ultimate reality in heaven. It includes the sin inside you, the world around you, and the devil beside you, who put a target on your back the moment you were baptized, and his goal is to sever you from Christ at all costs. There is an ugly side to reality. It includes cancer, car wrecks, and cardiac arrests, every suffering and sickness, pestilence, and plague imaginable. It includes bombs, wars, and terrorists, floods, tornadoes, and earthquakes. It includes shacking up before marriage, broken families, unwanted pregnancies, sexual transmitted diseases, and abortion. It includes loneliness, despair, and depression. It includes hatred, rage, and division, cutting remarks, arguments, and gossip. It includes the guilt and the scars we all bear, having tried to please our own nerve endings. It includes false religions, false gods, and false hopes. It includes funeral homes, cemeteries, and graveyards. This is the sinful and ugly side to reality out there and in our hearts that we will have to face, like it or not, and that you will have to battle with until the day you die. We try to escape this ugly reality, but we can't. The ugly reality causes many of us to give up on ultimate reality. The real adventure and the real abundant life of trusting in Jesus now and forever and following him for the ride of your life through the wilderness onto the promised land. This ultimate reality of the risen Jesus walked out of his grave alive on Easter morning, shaking our world to its core. Dead people don't rise. Ordinarily, that's true. This is a new reality. Jesus walked into the upper room on Easter evening where the disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews, and he said, "Touch me and see. It is I myself. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." He was showing them what ultimate reality looks like. Life after death. Life that not even death can rob you of. John 16, "In me you may have peace." There's your ultimate reality. 1 John 5, "Whoever has the Son of God has life." Ultimate reality is this, that the one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he lovingly created you because he wanted you to exist, and you are his artwork. Psalm 139, "O Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And Ephesians 2 adds, "We are God's artwork, created in Christ Jesus." God wanted you so badly that he created a masterpiece. However, ultimate reality also includes this sobering fact that we, God's artwork, chose to sin against the God who always wanted us and who lovingly created us and who intended our lives to never end. By our sin, we lost our value, our beauty, our meaning, purpose, life, and significance in God's paradise. You see, God is righteous, and in his righteousness, he has to punish sin. It's neither loving to the sinner or those sinned against for God to just ignore our sin. But the fact that he must punish our sin put God in an awful predicament. If he punishes our sins on us, then he loses the very ones he loves. And that option was not acceptable to him. Thankfully, our Lord came up with an ingenious plan by which he could both punish our sins and yet not lose the ones he loves. How? By punishing our sins on a substitute. By introducing an innocent victim by which we can be redeemed. And it worked. The cross is not a fraud or a fairy tale. The cross is reality, it's history, and it got the job done, and you are forgiven. That's ultimate reality. Finally, the ultimate reality includes that there is life after death, either in heaven or hell. Jesus said in John 10, "I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly." And 1 John 5 says, "Whoever has the Son has life." And John 5 says, "Whoever believes in me already has eternal life and will not be condemned." Ultimate reality is that in Christ we can die and check back out of our graves alive to enjoy life now and forever with our Lord and our loved ones forever, in a paradise that is better than we ever dared to dream, and there to know fully the inexpressible joys of life with Jesus, with bodies and souls made perfectly new and functioning exactly as designed at the resurrection, to enjoy life to the max in heaven forever. That is ultimate reality. But this means that there are eternal implications to how we view and live life now. If Christ and his kingdom If his death and resurrection, if the forgiveness and life that Jesus alone freely gives us are ultimate reality, then simply put, the world that you and I are living in now is a reality, but it's not the ultimate reality. Which means what? That if we treat what happens out there on the late great planet Earth, in this valley of the shadow of death, as the real world, as if this is what life is finally all about, we'll be in danger of losing the only Savior the world has, the only Savior we've got, and losing the ultimate reality He wants us to have and enjoy with Him in heaven. Think of it like this. If the cross actually happened, which it did, and we know that both from the Bible and history, and if the tomb of Jesus was truly empty on Easter morning, which it was, and we know that both from the Bible and history, then what we are not doing when we come to God's house, we are not fantasizing false realities. We are not dreaming pleasant but unrealistic dreams. We are not leaning on meaningless crutches. We are not wasting our time. No, what you are given, confirmants, when you come to God's house, hear His word, remember His ongoing baptismal promises, and receive His supper. What you are actually doing is receiving ultimate reality. That is, the forgiveness of every sin you've ever done wrong that made God mad at you. Here in worship, you're given forgiveness in place of sin, life in place of death, peace in place of guilt, salvation in place of damnation, heaven in place of hell. The cross and empty tomb of Jesus are, in fact, God waking us up to reality, ultimate reality. That the gracious, never-ending kingdom of God and of His Son Jesus has invaded our planet, free of charge, even before we asked for it. And even before we repented, when Jesus died and rose again. And His payment for sin has so satisfied God's wrath against us, and so completely that God is no longer mad at you, but He loves you with limitless and never-ending love. And in Christ, you will enjoy His life and His love for all eternity. That's ultimate reality. And that's what Jesus died to give you and me. Isn't it great to be a Christian? So what's the danger? The danger is we're not home yet. We're still living in enemy territory. We're still living as pilgrims in the wilderness of this world, where our faith in Jesus is daily attacked by the devil, the world, and our flesh. Many people use drugs and alcohol, money and possessions, treasures and pleasures, sports and affairs, you name it, to escape the ugly side of the reality that our sins actually caused. The world's idea of life in the real world is found in Luke 12, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The world's idea of real life is YOLO, you only live once, so enjoy the journey. Or as the old surfer's t-shirt says, life's a beach and then you die. You see, what most people want is salvation on their own terms rather than on God's terms, which is dead and risen Jesus. Many want an escape from the world's empty, meaningless, and painful reality, but without going through the cross. For those who would say that this world or this life is real life or ultimate reality, do you know what you're saying? If this world is ultimate reality, then you're saying that wars and crime, abuse, hatred, drugs, abortion, gossip, murder, prejudice, racism, adultery, homosexuality, violent acts of nature, out-of-control people, evil, divorce, blowing off God, and even death are normal. You're saying that's ultimate reality, and that's a lie from the devil. Let me assure you, confirmants, those things are not normal. The world you live in out there is not normal. It may be a reality, but it's not normal, and it's not the ultimate reality or the real adventure or the dream come true that God wants to give us in Jesus. Jesus said in John 16, the prince of this world now stands condemned. Ultimate reality is this: God fought for us And he won the war at the cross so that you and I could live with him forever in paradise. As a result, you'll either live the lie that this life in the land of the dying is all that there is, or you will live the victory of Christ's cross, that Jesus' death and resurrection worked, that you're saved because God says you are, and that just as death could not hold our Savior, it won't be able to hold us. The danger, confirmants, is this, that even though you are forgiven, your death is defeated, the grave is unlocked, the devil is conquered, and heaven is opened, that even though the war has already and decisively been won by Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago, nevertheless, the danger is that your faith in salvation can be lost. If the losers, the devil, the sinful world, and our flesh, can convince you that they've won, that Christ could never love you or forgive you, or that living for the moment just to please your nerve endings is what real life is all about, if they can convince you to let go of Jesus and treat as an unnecessary thing the blood of that redeemed you, that is the only way that they can take you with them to the other reality of hell. That is why it's critically important, confirmants, that you come to God's house and worship regularly, so that through his word and sacraments, the Lord will feed you with the finished victory of Christ's cross and empty tomb. When you think worship is boring and you don't want to come, remember, that is the sin inside you telling you that. Or else it's the devil's lies telling you that coming back to life after you're dead is boring, that living forever in paradise is boring. If the truth be told, receiving eternal life with Christ in paradise is not boring. So when you think it is, you need to fight the devil and the sin inside you and the world around you by telling them that if that's what they don't want you to do, then that's exactly what you're going to do. Come to God's house to partake of the body, blood, and cross of Jesus that conquered those enemies. Confirmants, when the world out there seems so overwhelming and inescapable, when all the evidence seems to be shouting that the devil has won and Christ has lost, and when you find yourself in the battle, fighting the enemy on the front lines, with the devil's attacks being relentless, hot, and heavy, God reminds you of the ultimate reality in Revelation 2. Be thou faithful, even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. It is in this place where Jesus gives out ultimate reality. He will let you eat his body that was broken on the cross to forgive you, and that is now risen victorious. He will let you drink his forgiving blood from his now risen body. Here you will hear and taste the redemptive price Jesus paid to give you access back into God's reality. And when you eat his body and drink his blood, not only are you taking into yourself the forgiveness of sins, you're taking into yourself the non-necessity for you to pay for your own sins. As you eat and drink, you are reminding the sin inside you, the world around you, and the devil beside you. This is the blood that defeats you. As you partake of Christ's body and blood and drink his blood, you are putting your enemies on notice. You lose and I win because Christ won and you lost, shedding his blood, a blood so pure that it caused God to forgive all our sins. And then you couldn't keep my Jesus dead. And so you can't keep me dead either, for my life is hidden in the risen cross now and forever. For whoever has the Son has life. That's ultimate reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let us continue with the offering.